today is not going to be warm and fuzzy. I'm warning you in advance. Okay.
I have tea.
Huh?
I have tea.
The what I mean is the Maral in this perek has a shita which is very, very strong and serious. The Maral is always serious, but this specific shita is take off the kid gloves, major leagues. Okay, and let's look at it. Perek Vav. Today is Perek Vav of the Tiferes Yisrael. The fundamental question, which he's dealing with here in this perek, as he's continuing to explore Taira Mitzad from the angle of the Jewish people, the benefits of Taira that we've talked about, you know, everything that we've seen since Perek Aleph about cultivating that aspect of the person, developing that aspect of the person which is godly, that can only be accomplished through the Taira itself, which is godly. So he now here addresses specifically the performance of mitzvahs. And he brings a question which is asked by the philosophers, which he refers to some degree disparagingly. He speaks of them that they're chaykri midatam v'sichlam al kol hadvorim, that they just sit and contemplate of their own mind thinking, you know, without Mesorah, without teachings from Chazal, they just sit and try to figure things out, why things make sense. That's his take on them, so to speak. So he says there are people amongst them who ask this question: what's this idea about doing mitzvahs, about doing actions to perform mitzvahs? What are we trying? What can we hope to accomplish by the actions of mitzvahs that's going to be of any eternal value? What, the way they formulate the question, the way he formulates the question, can be accomplished by a physical masa hamitzvah that's done within this world, in order to be able to accomplish things for eternity, for that which is beyond this material world? How would this work? Why should mitzvahs work? That's the question which he brings from the philosophers, and he says, "Nu, if the mitzvahs were all tchunais b'tayves b'nefesh ha'adam, if the mitzvahs were all bringing and speaking about good qualities within a person, like for instance the mitzvah of tzedakah." Mitzvah tzedakah, you understand, brings out a charitable nature of a person. Mitzvah not to hate your brother, l'sisnas achicha bilvavecha. You know, it makes you into a person who's less vengeful and more caring and so on and so forth. These are midos tovos. So they endow the person's nefesh with good character. So then you could say, look, the person becomes good, becomes better, and therefore that is an enduring quality which the person's going to have even in the Olam HaNetzach. But when we speak about specific actions that we should do, that we don't see them addressing the midos of a person, actions like not wearing shatnas, or how we're supposed to shecht, and the Maral very cleverly says, you know, the fact that when we're outside of the Beis HaMikdash and we shecht a chicken, we're supposed to shecht it specifically from the front of the neck. When we're inside the Beis HaMikdash and we shecht the chicken, we're supposed to shecht it specifically from the back of the neck. Malika, they did it with the fingernail. It was a completely different way that it was done, killing a bird, when it was done in the Mikdash. I shouldn't say a chicken, a bird, right? When it was done in the Mikdash as opposed to when it was done outside. So how are you going to explain that with Midos? How are you going to explain that in terms of instilling or endowing the character of a person with a quality, you know, one way or the other? Is this the right way? Is this the nice way? Or is this the nice way? You know, how do you make it wash? How can these actions, as prescribed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which are actions which are done by the person here in this world, material, physical actions, what lasting eternal value would they have in a world of Nitzchias, in a world of eternity, a world which transcends these simple physical actions? So the Maral says, I tell you the truth, they don't deserve an answer. He says, why? He says, because, you know, tell me something. Do they have answers for all the questions about the material world? You know, he says, you know, like, science, you know, sitting out and we're trying to figure out how everything works. So science has uncovered a fraction a small fraction of how things work within the physical material world. Tell me something, do we refuse to look at things with our eyes because we don't understand every aspect of how the eye works? Do we refuse to eat because we don't understand exactly how the digestive system, every last bit and drop about how it works? It's there, we do it. We don't understand it all, we haven't figured out everything about it. No, far foul. But when it comes to mitzvahs, which are so much harder, says the Maharal, to understand, because you're dealing here with something which is not physical, you're dealing with something which by nature is metaphysical, is the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There, it's a showstopper if we don't understand the reason. So the attitude troubles the Maharal. The attitude troubles the Maharal. You know, like, why? It's like sort of, you know, you've got to explain this to me in order for me to have to do it. Come on. You know that there's so much in the world around you, which you do what you're involved in, without satisfactory logical explanation. But he says, but I'll explain it to you anyway. And the idea is, again, because, you know, it's not just that he's being, you know, he says, look, you know, I mean, the language which he uses to explain, he says, we're not going to hide the wisdom of the Torah. We're not going to hide the wisdom which those who really know the Torah have. Right? Why should we hide it? Why should we deprive people of that? You know, this, you know, those of you who, for instance, were with us when we learned the Ber HaGoyla in the beginning, it's a very kind of a refrain, you know, of the Maharal. He's here, really, a lot of his work was not just to teach Torah, but to defend Torah. Ber HaGoyla is a work which was explicitly written to defend Torah. Other Svarim, like the Tiferes Yisrael, you don't have that language usually, but this Perek, this opening question could well have found its way into the Ber HaGoyla. The Ber HaGoyla was written as a defense of the words of Chazal. People had all kinds of questions. There were all kinds of contemporaneous publications which were out there in the time of the Maharal saying, I don't know about this thing, Chazal has to say this, doesn't make sense, Chazal say that, we don't understand it, and so on and so forth. And the Maharal really structures the Ber HaGoyla. He had on one corner of his desk, you know, his Shas and his Midrashim and everything else, and the other corner of his desk, he had a little pile of these kontrasim, of these pamphlets, of these books and leaflets which people wrote asking questions about Chazal. And he took the greatest hits, so to speak, the biggest questions which they had, and that became the curriculum of the Ber HaGoyla. He categorized the questions into different kinds of questions, and he made seven different sections, you know, to seven different categories, to be able to address what they're talking about. But what he starts with, what his Agdama there starts with, and what he constantly, you know, references back all the time is, you have to understand when you're in your depth and when you're out of your depth. You know, you have to understand that our attitude towards the Chachamim, this is the beautiful Hagdama over there in America, our attitude towards the Chachamim is that they had a very, very profound level of wisdom and understanding that we try to be able to access and to be able to attain. So when we read it and we don't get it, we say, bah, right? It's ridiculous. It's like if you went into an advanced PhD level physics class at MIT and you sat through the class and you said, this guy doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense because you didn't take your undergraduate courses in physics. You didn't take your basic graduate courses. What are you starting from? Okay, now, on the other hand, you can still have a Chveis Lahavdil, you can have a Stephen Hawkins, right, or Hawking, whatever his name is, right, who's going to go and write, you know, brilliant physics for dummies, you know, so that we'll be able to be able to have some insight, you know, you really like it, you want people to understand what it is. So the Maharal says, look, you know, you have to have a humble attitude towards Chazal. But I know that you don't. He says to the people, I know that you don't. I mean, essentially, so let me give you a window into the wisdom of Chazal. And that's the Maharal's writings. I mean, as he wrote more and more, he gave us more and more windows into more and more Divrei Chazal, and we become frustrated when we find the Chazal that Maral didn't open wide the window on. Right? We have to use his methodology and try to apply it to this place. But he wants people to have an appreciation of what it is. So it's the same thing which he does over here. Really, you know, the question, the posture which yields this question, you know, like, what are you talking about? What are you asking about? You can't understand this. So what? There's so much in the world that you don't understand. This is one of the most difficult things in the world to understand. But nevertheless, let me try to explain it to you, because it's not my business to just tell you, shut up and do it, excuse the expression. That's not what the Maral wants to do. Maral wants to enthuse people about it. He wants to interest people about it. And if they're skeptical, what can you do? I always like to say, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah to Klal Yisrael, we said, Na'aseh v'nishma, right? We were very good. We said, we'll do. We don't have to explain to us. You don't have to tell us. We trust you completely. You know when they said Na'aseh v'nishma? They said Na'aseh v'nishma right after Yetzias Mitzrayim. In fact, they said Na'aseh v'nishma in response to Hashem coming to them and saying, look, you saw what I did to you in Mitzrayim. You saw me lift you on the wings of eagles and bring you to me. You've seen what I've done for you. Now, what do you say about my mitzvahs? So he said, Rebbeinu Shel, we trust you. You know, we've seen you, you've shown us your stuff. Right? Now, a Jew who's living in the 16th century, right, you know, of the Maral and is a skeptic, you know, Yetzias Mitzrayim, you know, I don't know. You know, I mean, do they, just because they get it at the Seder every year, that means that they saw it, that means they feel it? They don't feel it. So you can't tell people don't ask questions. It's the same thing today. Very, very important. You can't tell people, doesn't matter whether they grew up from or they didn't grow up from, don't ask questions. You can't tell people don't ask questions. You have to be matim. You have to make the Torah sweet. You have to let people see the wisdom, the benefits of the Torah. So that's what's going on over here. What do we do with this? Okay. So the Maral uses as his text to explain this, a famous Mishnah, a Mishnah which is extra famous because, in fact, the Mishnah is repeated two places in Shas, and it's repeated in two places which are actually fairly commonly, amongst the most commonly learned Mishnayos or Gemaras, Maseches Brachos and Maseches Megillah. In both places, the Mishnah appears. The Mishnah says, Ha'omer al kan tzipor yagi'u rachamecha. ... Mishaskin I say. A person who says that your mercy, Hashem, extends to the Kan Tzipor, to the bird's nest, we silence him. Rashi learns that what's happening here is that this person is a Bal Tfila, or offering prayers of some sort on behalf of the Jewish people. He's Ivor Lifnei HaTeva, and he is waxing poetic. He's not just sticking to the script of Lamalshinim al Tzisikva, al Tzadikim, al Chasidim, and so on and so forth. He is adding his own words into the tefillah. Exactly when, exactly how, I don't know exactly what to tell you about that. Right? You know that we have, certainly privately, tachnunim that we would say after the tefillahs. But he's standing, he's davening, and he's davening with his own text. Again, presumably adding his own text to the standard text. And he says, Rabbeinu Shalom, you care even about the bird's nest. Your rachmim, your mercy extends even to the bird's nest. Referring to the mitzvah in the Torah, which says that when you chance upon a bird's nest along the way, send away the mother before you take the children. Don't take the laisikacha imal abonim. Don't take them, you know, one in the presence of the other. Send away, and then you take what's left. So we say, Rabbeinu Shalom, you care even about a bird's nest. You care about those little eggs and chicks of the mother. To the mother you care. So Rabbeinu Shalom, chus v'rachim aleinu, have mercy on us too. We're not less than those birds. That's what the person says. Nice. No? No. Right? We say, quiet. We stop him. Ask the Gemara why. What's the reason why we're mashtikim? So the Gemara says two answers. The first answer, the Gemara says, is because he's matil kina b'masa bereshis. Because he infuses jealousy into creation. And the second answer, the Gemara says, is because he's making HaKadosh Baruch Hu's midas, his measures, rachmim, mercy, ve'einan el gzeiros. And really, they're just decrees. So let's look at each of those. The first one is not the one which we're going to be so concerned about here today, but let's hear the Maharal's explanation of it, which is beautiful. And then we'll go on to the second one, which is the focus. Not just the focus of the Maharal, but it's been the focus of many discussions amongst the Rishonim that preceded the Maharal. The Maharal comes to question and to add to those classic explanations. And there's going to be his real chiddush. His, like as I said at the beginning when we started today, his not quite warm and fuzzy chiddush in this sugya. Matil kina b'masa bereshis. He puts jealousy into creation. The notion of putting jealousy into creation, if you recall, as the Maharal quotes, if you recall, we have that as well on a much earlier stage. That Rashi brings in Chumash and Parshas Bereshis. In the story of creation. Excuse me. When it gets up to the point of the creation of Adam. So what does it say? Amar Lohem, the Rabbeinu Shalom, it says, when Nasa Adam, when he came to making man, so he said, let us make man. Right? What does it mean, let us make man? So all kinds of things. So Rashi describes this scenario of HaKadosh Baruch Hu consulting with the Malachim and speaking to them because he was worried that the Malachim would be jealous because man has this spiritual component like the Malachim do. So he was sort of breaking their monopoly and they would be upset about Adam. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to justify to them, or felt, right, this is the humility of Hashem. Hashem could do what he wants, but he didn't want to force it down their throats. He wanted them to understand why he was doing it, so he got them to buy into it. He brought them around the table. Right? Always good strategy. We learn it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Gemara, Afkan b'pamal yeshaloi, says Rashi, excuse me, quoting what Chazal say, Afkan b'pamal yeshaloi natal v'shus, Amar lehem, yesh be'elyoinim kidmusi. There is, in the upper worlds, remember, as of the second day of creation, Hashem divided the lower worlds from the upper worlds. Yirokia. So he said, in the upper worlds, there's something like me. You, Malachim. Imein kidmusi b'tachtoinim. If there's nothing like me, if there's nothing with that divine spiritual side down there on earth, harei yesh kina b'masa bereshis. There's going to be a jealousy within creation. That's one place where we find this idea, which the Gemara says over here, of kina b'masa bereshis, of a jealousy within creation. What's the Gemara saying when it's saying it over here? Simply, you know, you're going to say Hashem's mercies extend to the kantzip or to the bird's nest. So there's jealousy in Masa Bereshis. There's going to be jealousy in creation. Because you're pointing out this thing that Hashem cares about the birds, but what about everything else? That's correct. So you're making Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu Rachmim, excuse me, you're being Matil Kim Masa Bereshis. You're creating this kind of a jealousy within Masa Bereshis. So this, says the Maharal, is understanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being Merachim. He is being merciful. But he's being merciful, right? If you're going to understand that he's indeed being merciful on this, and not being merciful on other things. So you're creating again this sort of kinna, this jealousy, this imbalance within Ma'aseh Bereishis. So he explains like this, that the idea that we need in Bria is ultimately that the Bria should be echad. The Bria should be one. Creation has to come together to accomplish what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted within the world. The word echad, the word one, is a very major key word as we find it in the Torah, as a touchstone for how we view things. Ultimately, we want everything to be unified into one. When we speak about the original situation of creation, Vayera Vayvecher Yom Echad. Chazal point out, Rashi brings, it doesn't say Yom Rishon, the first of many, right, which implies that there would be others. On that day, it was still HaKadosh Baruch was Yachid. Everything was together. Right? There was no separation yet between even heaven and earth. The idea, the goal is to get things back to that. We don't want to create. As much as HaKadosh Baruch Hu divided things and made different components and separated things within the world, the idea is to ultimately achieve a harmony between them. And to build into the world some kind of a jealousy, an acrimony, a distance that's going to exist between different sides, different parts of the world, that will make it irreconcilable, will make it more difficult to come together, is not a good thing. Is not a good thing. Shalom. I say, Shalom bimraimav, hu yasa shalom aleinu v'al kol Yisrael. Barchenu avinu kulanu ki echad v'ar panecha, we say in the bracha of Shalom. The last word, the last desire of everything is that things should be able to come together. So when Chazal, I mean, we're not going to speak about this at length here. When Chazal prays so much, Godol HaShalom, you see, even when they were Avdi Avodah Zarah, like in the time of Achav, but they're Shalom. Right? Because the notion of being able to have things, bring things together, is the ultimate. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. The ultimate Kabbalah Salam Malchus Shemayim is Hashem Echad. Bayom Ahuyeh Hashem Echad Hashem Echad. We finish every davening by those words. Echad. That unity, that sense of completeness, of harmony, of everything being part of one picture is very essential to the picture of the completeness of the world. So to highlight things that would bring out not just difference, but some different attitude between HaKadosh Baruch Hu is showing preference to the Elyonim over the Tachtonim, over that which is above rather than that which is below. Hashem is showing preference to the birds over the giraffes. Right? This doesn't make for that world of Echad. So that's the first thing which the Gemara says. Now you of course have to understand, well, why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu put jealousy in Bereishis by making a mitzvah of Al Kan Tzipor Yagiu Rachamecha? Why don't you say, by the fact that he made the mitzvah for birds, so he made the jealousy. You're just saying, Rabbanu Shalom, your mercy extends to the birds. Because you're teaching, you're interpreting. You know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could say what he wants, as we're going to have, let's say, in the second answer. You know, Xeris, do this, do that, and so on and so forth. And you understand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can dole out different instructions about different things. But if you're making it into a quality called rachamim, which is basically love and care, right? In the language, you know, rachame is his beloved. Is, you know, to say HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love goes to the birds, right? And not to anything else, there you're already interpreting. And that, understanding it that way, explaining the behavior that way, that's what creates the kina, that's what creates the jealousy. Our job isn't to create, to pit elements of creation one against another. It's just not. Okay. So that's the first taich of the Maharal. Then we have the second one, which is that you're interpreting Hashem's midos as rachmonas. Forget the fact that it's only for the birds. Let's say it was for everything. Let's say you could never take any mother from it, any child from its mother. It wasn't just birds. It was birds. It was fish. It was animals. It was everything. So you wouldn't have this issue of jealousy. We would still have the second problem in the Gemara, right? What's the problem? You're making Hashem's midos into rachmim. When they're really gezeiros. Now, that Gemara is what we say, it's like Miras Tanigra. It's very difficult to read. What does that mean? It's an insult to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing things out of mercy, out of compassion? That the legislation of the Torah is a legislation of mercy? The Torah, which when every time we put it back into the Aron Kodesh, we say, Derecheha Darchei Nayam V'chol Nesiveiseha Shalom, all of its paths are pleasant, all of its roads are peaceful. It's an insult to say that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing is Rachman. What does that mean? What does that mean? This line in the Gemara, again, occupied the Rishonim to figure out, what does this mean? Why is the Gemara saying this? Okay, so the Gemara says this language says Rashi midaisav mitzvaisav midaisav. It says he makes the midos of Hashem. It says that means Hashem's instructions, right? His measures, the measures which he put into place, not character traits like we sometimes say midos. Hulai l'rachti masa. He didn't do it for mercy. Elo l'hatil al Yisrael chukei gezei raisav. But rather to put upon the Jewish people the rules of his decrees. L'haydi Hashem avadav v'shomer mitzvaisav. To let them know that they are his servants, that they have an obligation to adhere to his commands. Ugzeres chukaisav. Af b'dvarim sheyesh l'satan l'akum l'hoshev aleim v'leimer matzerech l'mitzvaisav. Even regarding things that people won't understand. You know, so what's Rashi mean here? What does Rashi mean here? So I want to take you really to the first Pirush on this Mishnah, on this Gemara, which is found in the Rambam, in the Meirin of Uchim. The Rambam in the Meirin of Uchim has a discussion about the reasons for mitzvahs. In fact, a lot of what he does in later section of the Meirin of Uchim is explain mitzvahs. A lot of very unusual, very sometimes troubling kinds of interpretations. That's, for instance, where we have the Rambam's famous and very controversial explanation about korbanos. You know, why korbanos? Because the Avodah Zarah brought korbanos. You know, so Hashem couldn't tell them to go call turkey, right? So instead, he had them use it for HaKadosh Baruch Hu instead of for other things. I'm saying it over superficially as is. You know, so like, what's going on, right? Ask Ramban, what are you talking about? Cain and Hevel brought korbanos. There were no idol worshippers around there that they have to be weaned from. Like Chazal tells us, Adam HaRishon brought a korban. When Noach came out of the Teva, he brought korbanos and Hashem was so happy. You know, like, what's going on? What are you talking about? Okay, so the Rambam gets into this whole thing of Tamei HaMitzvos. But before he gets into the whole thing about explaining specific mitzvahs, he brings a question as to whether the mitzvahs even have reasons. Do the mitzvahs even have reasons? What are the two sides to the story? The two sides to the story are that on the one hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could give us mitzvahs that legislate as guidance. These are the good things, these are the bad things. So do these and avoid those. Very much, you know, the kinds of things that we've been talking about till now in the Maharal. Right? The various components of shleimus, of perfection that a person wants to instill within himself and so on and so forth, they're set out by the mitzvahs, the things which we're supposed to embrace and the things which we're supposed to absolutely avoid. That would be one way to see the mitzvahs. That every mitzvah therefore has its reason. And we can probe and understand what's good about this or what's bad about this that we're told to avoid it. Alternatively, you could say that the mitzvahs are just chukim shechakakti. They're just rules that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs to establish the relationship between us and Him. A big part of that relationship is He's the Lord. And we are the creatures. We are the subjects. We have got to know who is boss. If I tell you to do something and you do it, that will establish something of our relationship. Now, it could be if I ask you to do me a favor and you say you do it, so it could be more loving, right? But if I tell you to do something, I lay down the line, you do it, so you're, by your doing it, you will say, you know, I'm going to be deferential to you.
Well, they're mutually exclusionary. They're not.
Okay. So in truth, it would seem that on some level they're not mutually exclusive. There's a very chashuv, very significant piece in the Rambam, in the Shmaina Prakim, Perek Vov of the Shmaina Prakim, his introduction to Pirkei Avos in the sixth Perek. The Maral writes there about the Rambam writes there about a debate which existed amongst philosophers. What was the debate? The question was, what's better? Is it better for a person to only want the good things, only want to have money which legitimately is coming to him, only want to eat kosher, and so on and so forth? Or is it better for a person, is it a better sign of a person, a person greater, if they want all the negative things, but nevertheless they overcome that desire for the sake of Hashem? Sacrifice. Which one is better? And he said the philosophers had this discussion and they came out on the side that it's better to want only the good things. And the Rambam even goes and he quotes Psukim and Mishlei that say the same thing. That seem to say, you know, the good person wants good things. The troubled person wants bad things. He says, very nice. The philosophers say it. Shlomo HaMelech says it. But Chazal said exactly the opposite at first glance. Because Chazal said, a person should not say, ugh, Chazar. I don't want to have nice deals, bacon things, pictures in the McDonald's advertisements, that hamburger with cheese, ugh, no interest in that whatsoever. It makes me sick to even think about it. A person shouldn't say that. A person should say, that looks delicious. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said in the Torah that I can't have it, so I won't have it. But I would love to have it. A person shouldn't say, E'afshi b'basar chazir. Says Rambam, what are Chazal saying? They're saying, better you should want it and suppress your desire than not want it at all. So they seem to be falling out on the opposite side from the philosophers. Says the Rambam, no. Think carefully about Chazal. Did you notice what Chazal didn't say? Chazal didn't say, a person shouldn't say, I don't want to walk into the bank, mow down everybody who's standing there with a machine gun, and steal all the money from the teller's drawers. Rather, the person should say, I really want to do that, but what can I do? HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me not to. Chazal don't say that. They choose as an example, Basar Chazir. Are you guys okay? When I give that example, usually people laugh. But okay, it's okay.
You need stronger coffee.
Yeah. So the Chazal chose an example of, I shouldn't eat chazer. Why shouldn't you eat chazer? Who knows why you shouldn't eat chazer? Does anybody know why you shouldn't eat chazer? Says the Rambam, it depends on the type of mitzvah it is. If it's a mitzvah which is a mitzvah of midas, a mitzvah of character, of values which are visible and understandable, then of course, if you want it, if you want to do the right thing, that's a good sign of character. If you want to do the opposite but you're suppressing it, it means you have still work to do on your character. But when it comes to just the mitzvahs which Hashem said don't do it and therefore you shouldn't do it, that's a different ballgame. That's a different story. There, Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't expect you not to want it. For carrots, he expects you to want it, but he wants you to listen to him. So, yeah, they're both. They're both. The Torah is filled with two kinds of mitzvahs. mitzvahs that we do because we understand why we do them. We understand that doing them are refining ourselves. They're enhancing good, positive values and qualities that the Torah wants to enhance within ourselves. And then there are things we do because we are HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creatures, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them to do us, so therefore we do it. Now, it could be that they're all in the first category. It could be that when we don't eat chazer, we say, I know it's bad for me to eat chazer. But you could say, I don't know why. You know, left to myself, I would want to have it. I'm trusting HaKadosh Baruch Hu that will do it. You know, when your doctor tells you to take such and such a medication or go through such and such a regimen, right, it's not like you say, you know something, I'm going to take it because I don't want to offend him. Or because, you know, I owe him big time. Right? You know, my deductibles or whatever it is. You're not doing it because of deference in that sense. You're doing it because he knows what he's talking about. You have no clue. Right? So left to yourself, your idea of a good time isn't swallowing this bitter pill. Right? But nevertheless, he knows what he's talking about. That's what he told me. So it's still going to be for yourself. They still don't listen. Right? So, if you do it, right? You do it because of trust, which would be there even now. My Rabbi Zichron Levracha, Rabbi Weinberg, used to rewrite this piece in the Maran Avuchim. It was not palatable to him that there's even a possibility that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just arbitrarily telling us things. But yet the Rambam in the Maariv Uchim does present that as the second side. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu just tells us to do things without reasons, because we need to establish the relationship. We need to show you who is boss. People will do that sometimes. What did Sarah do to Hagar? Right? Hagar went and was invited to be a concubine for Avraham Avinu when she became pregnant, and suddenly, Vatekal Gvirta Bieina. She said, now I'm a wife of Avraham Avinu. She didn't see herself as just doing it as a surrogate for Sarah. So Avram gave her over to Sarah. Vata'amneha Sarai. Sarah was ma'ana her. What does that mean? Sarah tortured her? Right? She put one arm up here, and she put another arm up here, and she stretched. No. What she did was, she did inui, like the term avdus v'inui. She put her in her place. She put her in her place. Was it because was it that she had a very hard job that happened to need to be done that day? Not necessarily. Not necessarily. She gave her an extra hard job. Why? Because she needed to show her who was boss. Because part of life was not just getting this job done or that job done, but it was the configuration of the relationship in that family. And it had to be understood that Avram was monogamous. He had only one wife, and that wife was Sarah. And Hagar was just a surrogate. And by Hagar misinterpreting it, she was in the wrong relationship. Vatanea Sarah, she had to show her who was boss. So one possibility is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the mitzvahs to show us. He tells it to us, this is what you have to do, and that's part of the nature of the relationship. That's how it defines the relationship. Says the Rambam in the Maran Avuchim, this is really a debate. It's a machlekas. It's a difference of opinion. Maybe he's referring to some degree to the difference of opinion that he speaks about in the Shemayna Prakim. There's a similarity between the two of them. But he says, it's a debate. And there are places where we see one way, and there are places another. But we fall out that there are reasons, and therefore let me spend the rest of this section giving you reasons for mitzvahs. Right? But there's a debate. Says the Rambam, you know what is a great example of the opinion that mitzvahs are arbitrary, that they don't have reasons? It's that Mishnah, that famous Mishnah, repeated twice in Shas, that if a person stands up and says, Rabbeinu Shem, you have mercy even on the bird's nest. Have mercy on us. We tell him to be quiet. And the Gemara explains, why do we tell him to be quiet? Because he's making, like Hashem's mitzvahs are to be rachmim, are to be nice. They're not xeris. They're decrees. That's it. Hashem said, do it, do it. Says Rambam, that's the opinion that holds that mitzvahs are arbitrary. This Rambam is so troubling that evidently even the Rambam had a hard time with it. Why? Because the Rambam, in the Pirush HaMishnayis, in his commentary on the Mishnah, right, the Mor Nevuchim was a separate sefer, guide for the perplexed, right? He wrote a Pirush HaMishnayis. In the Pirush HaMishnayis, he gives a different answer. He gives a different interpretation of the Mishnah. He says, it can't be that it's really Rachmim, this particular mitzvah, because it was really Rachmim, then why did he say don't shecht birds altogether? Okay. So the Rambam says in the Pirush HaMishnayis. I'm not sure. I think the Pirush HaMishnayis was written first, but I'm not sure. But the Pharisee Yisrael asked the stira in the Rambam, asked the, so to speak, the contradiction in the Rambam. The Taisus Yantav, excuse me, asked this to the Rambam. But the Rambam says, the problem is because he's saying that the reason is because Hashem cares about the bird. But that can't be true. He wouldn't have allowed Shechita at all. So it must just be a chayk. So in other words, Rambam is not saying that behold that all the mitzvahs are chukim. Just this mitzvah, the logic doesn't hold through the whole, all the instructions about the bird. So therefore, this must be a mitzvah shimis she'en la tam. Okay. So there's a famous Ramban al HaTorah. Ramban has a very big discussion about this in Parshas Kisetze by the mitzvah of Kansibar. Ramban argues with the Rambam. And the Ramban formulates a different approach. And he says like this. He also brings up this thing that we shech the animals, and we shech the animals too. But he says, therefore, that doesn't make it that this is just a chayk, because it contradicts the whole idea of Rachman. I happen to have the paper in here. And he brings the Rambam and the Mor Nevuchim, who are a different part of the Rambam. Because remember, the Rambam is saying that's the opinion. The one who says it's not Rachmim is the opinion. Well, the mitzvahs have no reason. But I'll tell you the reason. And the reason is because we hold that there's a reason. The reason is because animals also worry about their young, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want them to suffer. You have to understand, he says, animals care about their young like people care about theirs. And so therefore we have to be careful about that. So on, he brings a different Chazal, where Chazal say, the Medrash and Bereishis famously, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu care whether a person is Sheichet ben HaTzavah or Sheichet ben HaEref? The mitzvahs were just given Letzarif Bohenes HaBriyes. So the Rambam, you know, as the Rambam says that there are those who say that there's no mitzvah, reason for the mitzvahs, it's just what Hashem asked for, what Hashem felt like, right? So he says that Chazal was also saying the same thing. And the Ramban says no. Ki b'chol echad every mitzvah is tam v'tayelas v'tikun adam milvat zchor and meis hametzaveh v'nisbarach. It's not just about listening to Hashem and being rewarded for being a good, obedient person. Every mitzvah has its reasons. Those reasons weren't exposed. Chazal was, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mechase, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu hid things. He didn't expose them easily. However, every mitzvah has its reasons. And he starts talking about Paraduma and everything else and mitzvahs that were hidden and so on and so forth. So he says, what's the idea though? What are Chazal saying when they say that it's not Rachmim, it's a Gzeira? Says the Ramban that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving this mitzvah, he's giving it like he gives all mitzvahs to make us better. Litzarif b'enes habriyos. We were the purpose of creation, to create man that would be b'tzelem elokim, that would be godlike. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to make us as refined and as perfect as possible. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the mitzvah about the birds, it wasn't about the birds. It was about us and how we would interact with the birds. What our interaction with the birds would make of us better or worse. That's what it's about, writes the Ramban.
Why can't it just be Shlemus in general? Why does it have to be us specifically for us? Us in terms of perfecting the world?
Let me read to you a little bit over here from what he says. He brings from the Tefillah of Yom Kippur. You set aside man, and you distinguished him to stand before you. Who can tell you what to do? You did it. And if he does righteousness, what does it give you? What do you gain from it? And so it says in the Torah. L'tayvlach. Hashem gave us the mitzvahs. They'll be good for you. It doesn't do something for Hashem. It's good for us. All the mitzvahs that we were given were so that we should be rendered as pure as possible, without negative character traits or negative thoughts. V'chein ma she'amru, when they said, l'fi she'aisa midosa she'akadosh baruch hu rachum ve'enam el gzeres, when it says you're making Hashem's midos mercy, when they're really decrees, lo'ymar she'lo'y chosa kel al kan tzipor, le'yu rachum avaloisei v'espinoi. Hashem, it's not that he had mercy on the bird's nest, and he was worried about the birds, and that's why he did this. Or that he was worried about the mother and the child not shechting them on one day. Hashem's rachmim doesn't go to those lowly creatures to the extent that they would interfere in any which way in our being able to use them. Okay, this is the key. He also brings in the shechita argument of the Rambam. Whereas the Rambam brought it in as to say, this must just be a chayk, this just must be a rule without explanation, because it can't be that he's worried about them, because then he would go further and not let us shech them. Says the Rambam, no. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created all of these things, l'sham sheni, as the language of the Mishnah. He created everything in the world to serve man. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to say, oh, I have such mercy on those creatures that I'm not going to let man use them. It doesn't make sense. The greatest mercy on the creature is to let it fulfill its purpose in creation, to be able to be used by man. Right? The Ramban has a beautiful passage. I don't know if we're going to finish this parak today. The Ramban has a beautiful passage in a small thing, which there's a question if the Ramban really wrote it. It's miyuchas to the Ramban. It's called the Geras HaKadosh, the holy letter. Right, the Geras HaKadosh is printed usually with the Ramban's Pirush and Maseches Nida, and it's about the attitude and preparation for the conjugal relationship, for marital intimacy. Writes there about holiness, and in there he has a section where he asks the veggie question. In other words, he says, "Tell me something. How could HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is so merciful, allow people to slaughter all of these innocent chickens, right, in order to have their food for Shabbos? Or these animals? How does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do this?" So Ramban, or whoever it was that wrote it, says, and he introduces the answer, which he says is found in many, many places. Many, many places. The Baal HaTanya says exactly the same thing. Many, many places it's found. But the introduction is fantastic. Says the Ramban. You know, this is very, very chashuv to put together with here. He says, you have to understand one thing. Tov Hashem lakol v'rachmov al kol ma'asav. Hashem is good to all. His mercy is on all his creations. So, before you figure out how, understand that If Hashem says to do it, it's the biggest rachmim in the world for that thing to do it. Hashem is more caring than all you guys walking around the street with your placards. Hashem cares more about anything than you. If Hashem told you to do it, it's not that Hashem said, forget about Rachmanis. Hashem said, das ist der größte Rachmanis. This is the best possible thing you could do for that animal. So you have to understand why. But that's the assumption. Nobody is nicer than God. Nobody is more sensitive, more humanistic than God. Sometimes, you know, it's not so simple to see. You know, mercy, sometimes mercy calls upon us to do some difficult things. The merciful parent who never wants to say no to a child is not merciful. It's not caring, necessarily. They're soft, but they're not necessarily caring. Right? You have to understand what the Gresta Rachmanis is, what the best way to express mercy is. That's the way the Ramban starts. He says, so now let me explain to you why. And Ramban, like again, or whoever it was, and like many others, said just a very beautiful thing. He said, look at the world. The world starts with the daimim, with the inanimate, with the earth, with the planet, the inanimate objects. Then you have plants that grow out of the earth. You have animals that come along and munch those plants and feed themselves. And then people come and they shech the animals and they eat them. That's what we call daimim tzaymeach chay medaber. But the Rabbeinu Shel Olam was the original believer in yuppies, in things being upwardly mobile. When he created earth, Nebuch, those minerals, the water, it's the lowest thing on the totem pole of the earth. Poor thing, why is it created to be down there? But Hashem said, this earth is going to be used to develop plants. The plants will be placed into the earth, they're going to suck out nutrients from the earth, they're going to grow out of the earth. That makes the earth actually upwardly developed to the plants. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a mitzvah to Adam HaRishon where he said, go fill the earth and conquer it and develop it. Don't let any part of the earth just be left Nebuch to be a piece of earth. Make it into something. Make it into a single plant. And then the poor plant, what's going to be for that? It's going to be a blade of grass. Nebuch, condemned to live life as a blade of grass, comes along, Elsie the cow, bends down, chews up that piece of grass, and becomes part of an animal. An animal is higher than a blade of grass. The grass is now not static. The grass is dynamic. It's grown into being part of the animal. Now you're going to have big mercy on the animal. You're not going to kill the animal. You know what you're going to do then? You're going to leave this animal to forever be an animal. You know, you have a rat, right? You have a rat. So what's a rat? A rat is a miserable creature that goes around, right, filling your sewer lines. When people see them in their house, they make them miserable, they make them crazy. You're going to take this rat that is just a source of anguish and you put it in a laboratory. And this rat can have a contribution to make a medicine that's going to make Rav Moshe Feinstein live 10 more years. And Paskin write 1,000 more tshuvas. This rat, unbelievable. You took it from anonymity and you made it into a cog in the perfection of the world. And this cow that's going to feed a human being, not as dramatic as the rat that I just told you about, right? But it's upwardly mobile, right? Yeah, yeah, or a person. And that's what Maral says the same thing. Everybody says the same. All the Balei Machshava say the same thing. The Maral writes, he says, that's Pshat in the Gemara in Pesachim, where the Gemara says, Amoretz Asur Lechol Basar. Amoretz can't eat meat. So simple Pshat, Marsha says, what's the idea? You know, if you want to have, so to speak, a Hashgacha for dummies, if you're going to go to some small Jewish city someplace, you want to find a kosher restaurant, right, it's very likely the kosher restaurant is going to be a vegetarian place. Why? It's the easiest thing to keep kosher. You know, just make sure that they buy the right vegetable oil. You don't have to worry about milk and meat. You don't have to worry about shechita, malicha. You know, if you eat vegetarian, it's much easier. That's why we eat milchigs on shvuas. right? According to most, the custom of milchus on Shavuos was because Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah. We got to learn how to do this stuff. Until we learn how to do it, we're eating milchiks, right? So Amoritz, person who doesn't know his way around too well, halachically shouldn't eat meat. That's simple pshat in the Gemara. Says Maral, no. The pshat is that if the person is living his life not as a higher step on the totem pole than a behemoth, he's just a smarter animal, but he's not refined. They say, you're a human being, you're divine, what you accomplish with your life is beyond just physical things. No, he's living as a physical peasant. Then what right does he have to kill an animal? It's not upwardly mobile. He's not making it any better by doing it. So it's not rachman to the animal. So that's why Namarats can't eat meat. That's why they learn pshat, others learn pshat in the Gemara. So says the Maral, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't say, oh, have rachmanis on the bird, don't bother the bird. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mercies towards the bird don't stop him from telling us to use it gesunter hate. He says, Farkir, use it properly and lift it up, raise it up. So what is it then? Avotama meniyah, says the Ramban, l'lamid eson umidas harachmanis v'shaloy nisachzer. The reason why Hashem held us back from it was because He wanted to train us to be sensitive, not to be callous and cruel. Yachzorias tispashet b'nefesh ha'adam. Cruelty can easily become sort of contagious within the soul of a person. It can spread like wildfire. Kiyadua b'tabochim sheikh te'asherim hagdelim ha'chamayim shem anshei damim zevchei adam achzorim ha'id. As you find this sometimes by people who make a living out of shechting. Nobody here? Good. Okay.
Or soldiers. An executioner.
Right? Anybody who has sanctioned ability to spill blood can become very casual about it. It's a famous, beautiful Arachayim HaKadosh that it says in the mitzvah of killing out an Irani Dachas, when you have a city that's overtaken by Avodah Zarah, says you're supposed to wipe it out. The city in Eretz Yisrael, taken over by Avodah Zarah, by Jews, wipe it out. So the pasuk ends, it says, V'nasim l'cha rachamim v'richemcha. And Hashem will give you mercy, and He will have mercy on you. So what's the double expression? It says, Arachayim HaKadosh, because He just told you to do something so rough. So it says, V'nasim l'cha rachamim. So He's telling you to do it, but He's telling you, if you do it right, you will still have rachmanis. It's not going to make you callous. It's not going to make you hard. Easier said than done. Without an assurance from the Torah, forget about it. Right? But says the Ramban, that's what we're worried about. We're worried that, okay, look, you need to do this, you need to do that, it's appropriate to do it, but what's it going to breed inside of you? So therefore, and that's what they said. Right, in that famous Mishnah at the end of Kiddushin, speaks about different careers. So it says the best of the sheichdim of the butchers is a partner of Amalek. Again, it's not that there's anything wrong with shechting; it's that very often it doesn't make again for the most sensitive personality. Again, there's plenty of exceptions to this rule. Please know, huh? Sorry. Yeah.
Just wondering, it says in Torah that you shouldn't eat the blood of an animal because it might have an effect on you or the Rashi.
I don't think it says it by blood. I don't think Rashi either says it by blood, but there is such a thing. It says ki adam hu anefesh, because blood is the essential life force of the animal. So I don't remember where it says it, but it is written such a thing that a person has to be careful about it becoming is that because of Rachman? I don't think so. One could say, I thought you were saying something else. When you say not because it's the life of it, you have to somehow take a step back from how harsh you are around the animals. Yes, that's very much fitting with this thing. I think the Ramban might say it over there. So he says, so what's the idea? So these mitzvahs are not mercy on them. It's not worry about the animals, because again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, do what you have to do for the animals to use them properly. But it's for us to guide us and to teach us midas tevis, to teach us good character. That's the idea. And that's why the Ramban teaches the Chazal, which says, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu care whether you shecht from the neck or you shecht from this? The mitzvahs were given litzaref es habriyos. Litzaref means to purify. Everything is about the effect that it will have on us. So this is Shitas HaRamban. Shitas HaRamban is that when it says they're rachmim rather than gzeiros, they're gzeiros rather than rachmim, is don't think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing this because he has mercy on the bird's nest. That's a misstatement. Hashem does have mercy on the bird's nest. But that's not what this mitzvah is an expression of. Because if that's what would be what it is an expression of, why is he even allowing you to take them at all? Let them grow up and go to college. Rather, the idea is that here HaKadosh Baruch Hu is thinking about you. Not gzeira meaning a mindless decree. But it's not directed at them, it's directed at you. To make you better. And this is Shitas HaRamban, that the mitzvahs are l'tov lanu, to be good for us, to make us better. Okay, so you have the Rambam, that there's a possible statement here in the Gemara that there's no reason for the mitzvahs, just HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give us marching orders and make sure that we're obedient and we'll be rewarded for being obedient. You have the Ramban, chas v'shalom, of course every mitzvah has a reason, and this mitzvah has a reason too, but the reason is to refine us, to make us better. The Maral argues with the Rambam. How can you tell me that a Mishnah, which is written as a Stam Mishnah, not once, but twice in Shas, is the result of a radical opinion that's roundly rejected by Chazal? How could it be? Doesn't like the Ramban. And he doesn't like the Ramban either. See, I lied. I said today wasn't going to be warm and fuzzy. It is warm and fuzzy, right? The Ramban is warm and fuzzy. Hashem wants to make us better. Hashem wants everything to be better, to be better, to be better. The Maral says, I disagree with the Ramban. The mitzvahs aren't for our good. To be continued. Okay? If you wanna have a chance, you learn this would be, some of you I know try to learn ahead, but even those who don't, if you have a chance, learn this parak. If you have a chance, learn this parak before we get together in Yeruch Hashem next time.
Which parak is it?
Parak Vav.
That's Cyril.
If you have a chance.
Last episode, all right.
Huh?
I had a lot of